We're going to be looking in Acts chapter 9 this morning. Acts chapter 9 is a very significant passage speaking about the salvation of Saul of Tarsus. Have you ever wondered why, especially in the fall of the autumn, why there are certain things in the garden you don't want to touch? I don't know if you've ever found nettles in your, maybe you have in your garden. Nettles, they're called stinging nettles for a reason, and it's a familiar plant, it's a common plant, and if you touch one, if you pick one up, if you touch the leaves, it will be firmly fixed in your memory that you shouldn't do that again, because they sting. They're literally little prickers on there, and they irritate your fingers and your hands and whatever else it touches. Well, what about a cactus? Have you ever looked close at a cactus? Let me guess, ask, how many people here have ever picked up a cactus and kind of fondled it and touched on it? Probably not, because they have the little prickers on them as well. And, you know, if you keep rubbing your hands over the surface of a cactus, sooner or later you're going to get the idea, you're going to get the message, it's going to sink in. You probably shouldn't be doing that, because it leaves some residue behind, and they stick in your skin. Now, if we look at the scriptures this morning, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 9, first 6 verses there, and it's going to remind us a lot about cactus. What does a cactus do for you? So the title of our message this morning is Stop Punching the Cactus. Stop punching the cactus. Follow along with me, if you would, as I read chapter 9, the first 6 verses. And it says, And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Shall we pray again? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word, that it might be beneficial for our hearts this morning, that we might be able to hear from you because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Stop punching against the cactus. You have to stop punching the cactus. Did you know that? What happens if you punch a cactus? Let me just ask you that. Some of you have probably come from places where they had cactus, or cacti is the plural, or maybe you've maybe visited the Arizona area, or the Grand Canyon area, or South Dakota, or even the west coast of Michigan, they have cactus there. You probably didn't pick one up and just start punching it, or beating it, or hitting it. Because there's a really good reason for that. It's going to stick in your hand, and it's going to hurt. And as we read the scriptures, especially Acts 9, there's a parallel passage in Acts 26, gives them a little more detail about what we're talking about this morning. Well, when we see this, and when we understand what's going on here, Saul of Tarsus is meeting Jesus, and he's understanding that there's something going on here that he wasn't aware of, that maybe he just didn't want to be part of. So as we look at this and we take it apart a little bit, first we're going to see that there was a problem here. The pain is being directed here. It is, what does it say here? It says, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, the little prickers. There's actually a cactus called a prickly pear. You don't pick it and eat the pears. That's not what it's all about at all. It's just got pickers all over it. It's hard. And of course, yes, that's true. There are some things in life that leave you irritated. And rightly so. because that's what this passage is all about. This is actually a Greek proverb. The Lord Jesus Christ using a proverb, even from heaven, on Saul of Tarsus. It's hard for you to kick. And remember, in the first century, we're talking about using goads or prods to move animals. And you just poke them a little bit, and they'll go forward. And then they'll stop, and then you have to poke them again. But what happens if, while you're poking that oxen or whatever the case might be, the ox turns around and starts kicking at your prod? Is that going to be beneficial? Do you think that's going to help anything or anybody? That's what this proverb is all about. Very counterproductive for you to poke or press against something that's poking into your skin. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Of course, this prodding and this moving forward, it's like we might say a proverb of having a barrier in front of you and you have to overcome it. Now, not all pain, not all barriers, not all hurdles are designed to stop you or to make you do something different. Yes, the scriptures tell us that. Count it all joy, it says. We looked at that in the Wednesday evening Bible study. Count it all joy, my brethren, when trials, fiery trials come your way. Yeah, that's true. Some trials are designed to strengthen our faith. Job is still, even this morning, reaping rewards for his life of faith. Did you know that? Even today. Some of life's greatest challenges are kind of equated with those stinging barbs or jabs or pokes or prickers. Oh, death, where's thy sting? That word sting there is prod or poke or prick. That's what that word is. And here it's a positive thing. Death is not going to be a prod or a poke or a stick or something to keep you away from God. In fact, on the contrary, oh, death, where's thy sting? It's not a sting because we have overcome that. It's truly a joy for a Christian homecoming. And that's the key here. But, and let's say it this way, sometimes life's obstacles are designed by God to stop us. To keep us from doing certain things. Lifestyle choices. Sometimes those lifestyle choices can end in ruin. Yes, we may perfectly think them through and think that it's just exactly what God wants me to do in this situation. And yet we know in the back of our minds, deep in our heart, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's telling us, whoa, wait, stop. Hold up. This isn't the direction you need to go. Well, this isn't the only place in Scripture. There are many, many places in Scripture where God's people are going in a certain direction. God is saying, whoa, let's hang on here. Let's wait just a minute and think about this. That's what God wants you to do. So when you start punching against the grain or punching a cactus, you're going to learn real fast that's very counterproductive. You need to just go the right direction without being crowded and poked. Let me give you a passage, and you're going to recognize it right off about a person who knew full well he should be doing one thing, and yet he did another. Here it is. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What's going on here? He's not listening to the directives of God, is he? I won't do it. That's just the way it is. You can't make me and out. It hurts. You want me to go that way? But no, I'm not. And he starts pressing against God's directive. Uh-oh. Yes, I'm not going to do it, God. And aha! They threw me overboard, so I won. Oh, wait. I guess I didn't win because God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Probably would have been better for him to listen to God the first time, but he didn't. Imagine you're living your life making decisions that are contrary to what you know God wants for your life. You know what God's will is, and yet you're not going to do it. And you finally stop, and you realize you're in a real heap of hurt. You're in a predicament that you aren't going to be able to get out of without God's help. Sad to say, happens all the time. What are you going to do? Throw up your hands in despair? throw a punch at the cactus that God is trying to use in your life to keep you from going in a certain direction and moving you the right way, or stopping you from retreating. Kick against the goads and the pricks. That means that that animal decided it didn't want to go that way anymore, so it started kicking against the prod. Not very productive, is it? How do we respond to that piercing pain of the prickly pear cactus? What are we going to do about it? Well, it's interesting that you should ask that. It's right here. If we were to go to the other passage that talks about this in Acts 26, it's the parallel passage. Let me just read a couple of verses from there because it tells us what's going to happen. In Acts chapter 26, this is the Apostle Paul. He's now the Apostle. And he's now following the Lord and doing his bidding. And he's standing before King Agrippa. And he's giving his testimony of how he got saved. And it says, beginning in verse 14 here in Acts 26, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Saul, Saul, what are you doing? What are you doing, Saul? Wait, I thought I was doing God's work. I was persecuting Christians. I was following them all the way around the world as far as I could, and gathering them and tying them up and hauling them back to Jerusalem where they would be thrown into jail. He persecuted them unto death, if you read that carefully. And Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. He was a real rascal, you might say. A rascal, one who really persecuted the church. And Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, what are you doing? You're persecuting me." Well, you think that got Saul's attention? Wait a minute. How could I be persecuting you? Oh, yeah, that's right. The body of Christ on earth, that's the church. Guess what this is right here? Those who have Jesus Christ living within them, we're the body of Christ. When you persecute the church, you're persecuting Jesus. He was just reminding them of that very thing. It says in the scripture that Saul desired letters, the letters to Damascus of the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the way is Christianity, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Saul, Saul, the harder you kick against my will for your life, the more you're going to inflict pain and anguish upon your own life. In other words, church, when you start pushing back against God's will for your life, what are you doing? That's what Saul's life is all about. What are you doing? Pushing back. Imagine that. Saul realized that God had a different plan for his life. That is where the choices come. Do we want to wallow in the dust of the Damascus Road, or, and yes, keep receiving painful reminders that we're going the wrong way, painful cactus in the wrong places, or give God the leadership position in our lives? The leadership position. What are you going to do? Just sit there and mope and grow? Or are you just going to listen? Maybe you've seen, I've seen this happen in the grocery store, is the one that I remember most. A little kid was told no. Did you ever tell God no? Don't do it. Little kid said, "No, Mom, I'm not going to do that. Mom, I want that. I want that. I want that." So he got down on the floor and started kicking his feet. Can you imagine that? Now, what is he going to accomplish? Let me check. Nothing. So he starts kicking, and he hits his head against the wall. Boom, 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 boom. What's he accomplishing? Saul, why are you persecuting me? Hit your head against the wall. Let's see, what is that going to accomplish? You know, little kids, nothing, nothing good. And if you're a parent like I am, and like we were many, many years ago, if our kids did that, we just said, huh, go ahead. You still break the wall. What else are you going to say? Sooner or later, that child will realize that, you know what? That hurts. And I'm not going to do that anymore. As Christians, we have to get to that point too. God's saying going this way, and he's giving me clear indications of that. But if I don't want to go, and I start kicking back, and I start saying no, the more you push back against God, the harsher life will become for you. Christian, you have to recognize this. Rejecting the pain, turning away from sin. We might even say hugging that cactus, really. Well, that's sad to say, but it happens all the time. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He came to his senses. He realized what was going on. And then the apostle, listening carefully here, Saul of Tarsus is now becoming Paul the apostle. And Jesus says, rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Saul, I have a plan for your life, and it means you have to go the direction I send you. Because if you don't, I'm going to stand opposed to you and help you realize that it's counterproductive for you to go contrary to where I'm sending you. Saul got up. He went into Damascus. He was done wallowing in the dust. He didn't want to do that anymore. He realized that was a bad place to be. Can't you just imagine in your own mind the prodigal son? He's in the pig pen, surrounded by all the droppings and everything else that is involved in raising pigs, the stench, the odor, the wickedness. And he's sitting there thinking, I don't like my condition. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't understand what's going on, but I know one thing. I can go back to my father, and he could change things. It would be a big difference. How about that? Have you ever been in a position like that? Because there are a lot of people who would rather just say, you know what? I'm not going to give my father the satisfaction of knowing that I messed everything up and I made all the bad choices and the mistakes are all mine. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. In fact, I'd rather what? You know, there are a lot of teens in this world right in that position. I'd rather die. Suicide is rampant in teenage America. Really? You're so far gone that you won't even listen to common sense and God's directive for your life that you'd rather what? You'd rather punch a cactus? Does that really make sense? Do you follow that? But it hurts too much. I just can't go on. Well, you don't have to go forward. You can go back to God. Go back to God. Remember that other example we have in Jonah. Because Jonah, guess what? Jonah didn't just say, I got out of that one. I didn't have to go to preach to Nineveh because they're wicked, evil people. And so they threw me overboard. And lo and behold, guess what? God had prepared a great fish. After the vomit, after the pain, after the horrors of being thrown overboard, the terror that was involved in all respects, what does God say in chapter 3, verse 1 of Jonah? Hey, Jonah! And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go out into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Are you irritated enough to know, God, that I am irritated? God, I know you're irritated. I know you don't want me to go the wrong direction, and you've helped put in my life things that send me in the right direction. Maybe it's a cactus. Maybe it's a great fish, but guess what? Jonah didn't get out of it, did he? Go to Nineveh and cry against it the words that I have asked you to preach. And the next three words in Jonah 3. And Jonah went. Jonah arose. He went where God wanted him to go. Wouldn't that be great? A novel approach to being listening to what God is doing in your life. Saul learned his lesson by being stricken blind on the Damascus Road. Jonah, he learned his lesson by being thrown overboard and being swallowed whole. What about you? Is there sin in your life causing you to be uncomfortable because of the consequences that are taking place? Well, let me tell you from the scriptures, it's pretty plain. You're not going to win. You won't win. Your senses will eventually come back to you and you're going to say, what am I doing? How did I get here? I don't even know who I am. And what are you going to do at that point? Hey, you have to talk to the Lord about it. You have to recognize that you're going in the wrong direction. There's something in your life that doesn't belong there. And yes, you feel that uncomfortable pricking in the back of your soul saying, this is wrong. Get out of there. Leave it behind. Do you want to stay in the pigsty? Or do you want to make progress and go forward? Saul made progress. Jonah, in a roundabout way, he made progress. Well, what about you? Are you going to do something with that cactus? Are you going to punch it? Or are you going to walk away and say, this is the way that God wants me to go, and it means doing things different today than I did yesterday? That's your choice. You can look at that problem. You can respond to it. You can push back. Push that away. Or you can say, Lord, I confess and I repent. Help me go forward. What's your choice? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would touch our hearts this morning. Help us to recognize that you are speaking to us. And Lord, if there is one who's not yet made that decision, that choice to accept you or to recognize that they are sinners in need of a Savior, Lord, that this would be that very day in history. And Lord, for that one Christian who knows that they're going the wrong direction and yet they keep pushing back harder and harder against you, Lord, I pray that that rejecting of you would be painful to them and that they would see, Lord, that they need to do something different, make a change. Lord, for that one who doesn't feel conviction of sin, Lord, I pray that they would search their hearts, recognizing that Christians feel remorse for sin. Grant to us, Lord, your Spirit in full measure because of Christ's name, we pray. Amen.